Again, greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be in the house of the Lord again this evening. Appreciated the songs and our devotional and our time here. Before we get into the message, just I want to say thank you to you as a congregation for your hospitality and your you sisters for the delicious food, and even Lavelle for barbecuing or grilling the chicken, and all those things were good. Just appreciate it so much. It was a blessing to be here with you this short time, and certainly wish each one God's grace and God's blessing as you go forward from here, and have certainly enjoyed being with you brothers and sisters here. Thank you, Michael and Virginia, for that nice place to stay in. Even though the air conditioner didn't work right the first day, it was fine. And it is so pleasant there. Thank you so much. And as we go into this message this evening, before I get into that, just a few things. As I thought of being with brothers and sisters in Christ, and to me it's just so wonderful to be of the family of God, and we have the same Father. We have God Almighty over us, and the one who cares and shares and gives and blesses his children. He gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And as I think of that, I had to think of a verse that said, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." So it's a blessing that we can have that security in Christ Jesus as we think of that. And my mind went just before I even get into the message there, when Jesus was there and was calling his disciples in John chapter 1, and when Nathanael came there to him and Philip told him, Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip saith unto him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael saith unto him, "Whence knowest thou me?" He had never seen him before. "Whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel." So as I thought of that, and us here this evening, as God, as Jesus saw Nathanael, had never met him, he knew him. And I want us to understand this evening that Jesus knows us. God knows us through and through. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And so, as was already stated this evening, regardless what comes our way, know that God is in control. And he doesn't allow anything to come our way that he doesn't give the grace to go through and to be faithful to him. As we're on the sea of life and trials come and the storms come and winds blow and the lightning crashes and thunder rolls, and if we have cast our anchor into the harbor of Jesus Christ, then we can be safe. We can be in him regardless of what comes, and we have a security in him that the world knows nothing about. And so that is my wish for each one of us that are in Christ Jesus, that we realize that and that we have that security that the world knows nothing of. And so now as we get into the message, I want to read something. And it's because of what I have to share this evening, I want to share this story. It says, "Wonderful, wonderful story. God moves in mysterious ways." I don't know if any of you have heard this before or not. Says the pastor's son, "Every Sunday afternoon after the morning service at the church, the pastor and his 11-year-old son would go out into their town and hand out gospel tracts. This particular Sunday afternoon, as it came time for the pastor and his son to go to the streets with their tracts, it was very cold outside as well as pouring down rain. The boy bundled up in his warmest and driest clothes and said, "Okay, Dad, I'm ready." His pastor dad asks, "Ready for what?" "Dad, it's time we gather our tracks together and go out." Dad responded, "Son, it's very cold outside and it's pouring down rain." The boy gives his dad a surprised look, asking, "But Dad, aren't people still going to hell even though it's raining?" Dad answered, "Son, I'm not going out in this weather." Despondently, the boy asked, "Dad, can I go, please?" His father hesitated for a moment, then said, "Son, you can go. Here are the tracks. Be careful." And then he said, "Thanks, Dad." And with that, he was off and out into the rain. This 11-year-old boy walked the streets of the town, going door to door, handing everybody he met in the street a gospel tract. After 2 hours of walking in the rain, he was soaked, bone chilled, wet down to his very last tract. He stopped on a corner and looked for someone to hand out a tract to, but the streets were totally deserted. Then he turned toward the first home he saw and started up the sidewalk to the first door and rang the doorbell. He rang the bell, but nobody answered. He rang it again and again, but still no one answered. He waited, still no answer. Finally, this 11-year-old trooper turned to leave, but something stopped him. Again, he turned to the door and rang the bell and knocked loudly on the door with his fist. He waited, something holding him there on the front porch. He rang again, and this time the door slowly opened. Standing in the doorway was a very sad-looking elderly lady. She softly asked, "What can I do for you, son?" With radiant eyes and a smile that lit up her world, this little boy said, "Madam, I'm sorry if I disturbed you, but I just want to tell you that Jesus really does love you. And I came to give you my very last gospel tract, which will tell you all about Jesus and his great love." With that, he handed her his last tract and turned to leave. She called to him as he departed, "Thank you, son, and God bless you." Well, the following Sunday morning in church, Pastor Dad was in the pulpit. As the service began, he asked, "Does anybody have a testimony or want to say anything?" Slowly, in the back row of the church, an elderly lady stood to her feet, and she began to speak. A look of glorious radiance came from her face. "No one in this church knows me. I've never been here before, you see. But last Sunday, as I was not a Christian, my husband passed on some time ago, leaving me totally alone in this world. Last Sunday, being a particularly cold and rainy day, it was even more so in my heart that I came to the end of the line, where I no longer had any hope or any will to live. So I took a rope and a chair and ascended to the stairway into the attic of my home. I fastened the rope securely to the rafter in the roof. Then I stood on the chair and fastened the other end of the rope around my neck, standing on that chair, so lonely and brokenhearted. I was about to leap off when suddenly the loud ringing of my doorbell downstairs startled me. I thought, I'll wait a minute, and whoever it is will go away. I waited and I waited. But the ringing doorbell seemed to get louder and more insistent. And then the person ringing also started knocking loudly. I thought to myself again, who on earth could this be? Nobody ever rings my bell or comes to see me. I loosened the rope from my neck and started for the front door. All the while, the bell rang louder and louder. Then I opened the door and looked. I could hardly believe my eyes, for there on my front porch was the most radiant little boy I had ever seen in my life. His smile, oh, I could never describe it to you. The words that came from his mouth caused my heart that had long been dead to leap to life. As he exclaimed, "Madam, I just came to tell you that Jesus really does love you." Then he gave me this tract, this gospel tract that I now hold in my hand. As the little angel disappeared back out into the cold and rain, I closed my door and read slowly every word of this gospel tract. Then I went up to my attic and got my rope and chair. I wouldn't need it anymore. You see, I am now a happy child of the King. Since the address of your church was on the back of this gospel tract, I have come here to personally thank you, to God's little angel who came just in the nick of time, and by doing so, spared my soul from an eternity in hell. There was not a dry eye in the church. And as the shouts of praise and honor to the King resounded off to the very rafters of the building, Pastor Dad descended from the pulpit to the front pew where the little angel was seated. He took his son in his arms and sobbed uncontrollably. Probably no church has had more glorious moment. And probably this universe has never seen a papa that was more filled with love and honor for his son, except one. And that was the Father on heaven on high that sent his son down to redeem us and to bring us back to his everlasting kingdom. And so this evening, as I go through this message, it's a hard message. I tried to get away from this message. But as I read this, I didn't know why. This afternoon I tried to get away from this message and I wanted something else. But I will go on with the message. I don't know that there is one person here this evening like that lady, that old lady, that did not have salvation and did not know what it was to be a child of the King. I don't know that there's anyone like that here tonight. I don't know how your heart is tonight, but I know that there's a God in heaven on high that knows you just like he knew Nathaniel and had never seen him. I know that he knows us through and through. So the title of the message this evening is The Last Judgment, or we could call it The Reckoning Day of God. And I will try to be time conscious this evening. If you would turn to Romans chapter 1. Beginning to read in verse 1. Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man. And he was speaking about what he just had in Romans 1, when it mentions the whole list of things. And now it says, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and his forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continually and well-being in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But now notice, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, and to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. Go down to verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. He's going to go judge us according to his gospel, according to the New Testament, according to his word. And so we look at that. Acts 17. Verse 30 and 31. And the times of this ignorant God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. 2 Corinthians 5. It tells us, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or evil, good or bad. And we hear today that works don't matter. Works, it's not works, it is only faith. And yes, we are saved by grace through faith, we are saved by that. But good works do follow, and good works do make a difference. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his what? In his body. By our actions, by our body is what reveals us, what is in our heart. And if it is not in our heart, then it's not going to come out. We can do some good deeds. There are unregenerated people that do good deeds, but they are not. It is here it tells us we're going to be, it's according to that we have done, whether it is the good or the bad. And we could turn to other scriptures. I wanted to get a basis for the message this evening as we look at those verses. And we see by these verses that there is a day appointed in the courts of heaven. And this evening, this message is not to strike fear in any heart. And if you are here and have peace with God and you've made your things right with God, I don't want to bring those things back and you feel condemned. But if you're here tonight and you know that you have things in your life that you need to confess and bring out, and you're keeping secret, then I want this message to speak to you. Even as it did for that lady, I was just amazed at that story. Think of that 11-year-old boy. And would to God that I could be as that 11-year-old boy tonight, is all I want to be, as clay in his hands. And so as we think of that, this message is not to strike at you, but to prepare us for that day, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, there were many times that they would say, God would tell them something and they would say, it will not happen. It will not happen. And then they were caught in their sin. And it did happen. What God had said it would happen. In Ecclesiastes, I want to read a few verses. You don't have to turn there if you don't want, but I want to read just a couple verses. Ecclesiastes 8. Beginning reading verse 8, it says, now notice, there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Down in verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it is not well for those that do not fear God. God's wheel grinds slow but sure. I want us to understand that. God's wheel grinds slow but sure. Be sure your sin will find you out. I don't understand how it will be. But God will have all deeds and all works and all thoughts that are in man brought before him at the judgment bar of God. And that's an awesome thought to me. We want to talk about that this evening, the reality of it and the surety of it. It's going to happen. And may I, first of all, before I get into any farther into this message, I want you to understand, I want to give my testimony this morning. I want you to know that I was spent too many of my days in not right standing with God. And I was as the story of the violin, there was an auction going, and you probably heard this story, and there was an auction going, and one of the last things was the old violin. And the auctioneer said, $1 I have, $2 I have, $3, who will give me $3? And he was about to sell it, and then in the back stood an old man up, and he came up. Said he took the old violin, he dusted it off, he tightened the strings, and then he sang a song as sweet as the angels sing. And he went back and sat down, and the auctioneer said, $1,000 I have, who give me $2? $2,000 I have, who give me $3? $3,000, going once, going twice, and then the people said, they want to know what made the difference in the old violin from $2 to $3, from $2 to $3,000, and they wanted to know what made the difference. It was the touch of the master's hand. It was the touch of the master's hand, and that's how I was. The auctioneer said, going once and going twice. And I'm an auctioneer, and when we say that, it's just before we close it out. And that's how it was in my life. I was that away. I was going once, and I was going twice, and I was almost gone. But thank God this evening, through Jesus Christ, and as the master dusted off the violin, and he's tightened up the strings, he's had to do that to me over and over. And I just praise him for that, the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And though we have messed up in life and we make mistakes, and it was at the time of my sister that was killed, she was married 4 weeks to the day I told some of you that. And she was killed in a tornado right there in Montezuma. And it was at that time that I rededicated my life to the Lord. And you know, when I was broken before God, and then it was not hard to do the things that God asked us to do. We need to be broken before him, and then it is not hard to comply to the word of God. But until that, it is. And so I want you to know that I went to bed too many a night with sin in my life. And I knew that I wasn't right with God. But I thank God for his mercy. If it wasn't for his mercy and his goodness, I would not be standing here tonight. I just bless his name. It tells us in Timothy, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men follow after. We have the privilege to take care of those things beforehand, or else they're going to follow us into the judgment. And I would encourage us to take care of the sin problem now. You can apply the judgment of God to your sins and life and turn your life around. And if you are here and have not done that, you are on the wrong way. And you're going the wrong way. But I hope tonight. That's why it was hard for me to give this message tonight, because I can look with you and you look so good. And I don't know, but I remember, it just comes to my mind now. I remember years ago when I was preaching the last message at a week of meetings, and I preached a message similar to this. And knowingly, not only knowing to me, the bishop's daughter was 17 years old and had never given her heart to the Lord. And looking at her, she looked so good and so pleasant, but she had never given her heart to the Lord. And so I don't know if there's anyone here like this tonight, but we can apply the blood of the lovely Lord Jesus and make a turnaround in our life. Because we must all appear before him. And it seems like we're living in a time when people don't think that there's going to be a judgment. So many people just live their lives and go on ungodly lives, and keeping secret sins in their life and not bringing it to the light. I don't know that there's anyone like that here tonight. But if you're here tonight and still have sin in your life, If that's the case, then more likely you went to work with sin in your life. You went to the dinner table, you went to bed, you awoke, and even maybe be here tonight. Will we acknowledge our sin now or later? We will someday. As I read in Romans chapter 2, in that day, the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible speaks a lot about that day. I want to stay on the Word of God. The Bible speaks a lot about that. It says many things about that great day. It's the flood. It speaks of the great days in the past. The flood, Sodom and Gomorrah. I had to think of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. All of these great days. And Jesus being born and Jesus dying and he rose again. But the day of all days is going to be the day that the Lord Jesus is coming back. And he's going to break the eastern sky, and he's coming back not as a baby, but as judge. And as if he is our Savior, how pleasant. He's coming back to judge the quick and the day, and what a day. The Bible calls it the day, a day, the great day, the notable day, terrible day, the last day. And beloved, tonight we can run like a vagabond from our sins, but one day we will respond to the voice of God. One day we will respond. We can be disobedient now and we can go our own way, but one day we're going to obey that voice. And it's going to be at the judgment bar of God. And then it will be as we have lived our lives. It will be a world of men there, good and bad, holy, unholy, rich and poor, great and small, black and white. I don't care, from nations from Ukraine to Kenya to the United States and wherever. All are going to be gathered there, and it is amazing to me. It will then matter what we have done with Jesus and what you and each of us individually have done with Jesus in our lives. Have we had accepted him as our Savior? Have we been cleansed by his precious blood? Or are we still living in sin? It will matter what we did. I had to think of Noah back in the flood. He didn't have to gather all these animals in. It was like a magnetic force that they just came. And I think it will be just that way. God will bring all men there. My question tonight is, will you and I be safe in the ark? The ark of safety. Or will we be outside? Will we be as the five virgins that let their lamps go out? I tell us tonight, there is no midnight oil. You need to have that oil now. There's no midnight oil. At that time, there will be no midnight oil. And we can look ever so plain, ever so pious, but has it in our heart? The Pharisees were the same way. They were religious people. But Jesus had the hardest words that he gave in the scriptures was to those religious people. And beloved, tonight we are a blessed people. We've been brought up in Christian homes, and it is a blessing. But the Bible tells us, and it is quite plain, that we're going to be, it's according to what we know and our knowledge and what we have, I forget that. It's in Luke 12:48, I think, where it says it's going to be a difference in those that have known and not known. I won't turn to that. But as we think of that, again, in Romans 2:16, it speaks about the secrets of men. And I would like to turn to Luke chapter 12. Just a few verses there. Beginning to read in verse 2. For there is nothing covered. Notice, this is Jesus' own words. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetop. And I say unto you, my friend, be not afraid of them, notice, that kill the body. And after that, have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And we could read on. It goes on in verse 7. He knows the very heads, hairs of our head, and they're numbered. He knows us. And so it gives us directives of who we should fear. In Ecclesiastes, just a couple verses yet in Ecclesiastes 12, the last two verses, it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now notice verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Does work matter? Do our works matter? God's going to bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Now, I think it is good if we do good things in secret and not to be seen of men. We're going to be rewarded for that. But notice, with every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil, it's going to be brought to light. It's going to be brought to the judgment bar of God. The scriptures tell us in Proverbs, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Do we want to have mercy? We can hide it for years, but it will come out. It's going to come out into the light. Sin never dies with age. I have to think of one time I was at a place. There was a 79-year-old man in that congregation. And his wife had told his daughter-in-law, I think it was that morning, that she don't know if he will ever respond to the gospel. But I was amazed that a 79-year-old responded that night, and everything that he poured out of his heart, I was amazed. 79 years old. Sin does not die with age. It will hound you like a bloodhound. On and on and on. And I have to think of different things. Bitterness. It eats like a cancer. And I think of unforgiveness. And I don't know if any of us are here like that this evening. But how is it in our life? Hebrews tells us all things are naked and open unto him whom we have to do. We cannot hide anything. And we should tremble in our shoes if we have sin hidden in our life. I had to think of Belshazzar, the writing on the wall. It tells us that his knees knocked together. And I wonder tonight, if there was a writing, a hand and a writing on the wall tonight, and we would know that we have sin in our lives, I wonder how we would respond. But let's be sure to understand that same God that wrote on the wall, he knows us, and he knows exactly where we're at, just like he did then. Our courts, the courts in our land, we may escape that judgment, but we won't on that day. Sin will be exposed. And so I ask this evening, how is it in your life? How is it in my life? Achan's sin, we know what happened. Adam and Eve's sin. And so many people try to cover it up. And they cover it up so well and hide it so well. I want to tell you a true story that happened years ago. There was a man in the state of Alabama. His wife went missing. Nobody knew what happened. They were suspicious that maybe he did something, but they never could charge him with anything. It went 19 years. And this man was in construction, and they were building a church house. And later, 19 years later, they were wanting to add on to the church house. And they went and were digging in the front and digging under the footer. And they came upon some bones. So they tried to figure out who this would be. They went to some of the old people in the community and asked, did you remember of anything that took place back then? And this one old lady said she remembers late one night there was some activity at that church house. Anyway, through dental examination, they determined it was this man's wife. He had hid her under concrete, poured her concrete over her, the footer. He thought she would be forever hid. 19 years later, the law, he had moved to another town, had married again, was living a normal life. The law came there one night and knocked on the door. And he said, I knew exactly what they wanted. And we can hide our sins, but it is going to come out. If it wouldn't have came out, it would have came out at the judgment bar of God. So we cannot hide our sins. And I want us to think tonight of the last four things. Death, the judgment, heaven, or hell. And I know these are hard words. I know these are hard words. That's why I didn't want to preach this message. I know they're hard words. But when we think of death, judgment, and the hell, we must all appear before the judgment bar of God. In Isaiah, it speaks of hell, and it's a place of torment. The Bible says it's the end of an ungodly life. Or I might ask, I've had prisoners ask me, well, where is hell? Where is hell? What do you tell people like that? I told them it's at the end of an ungodly life. And that is just the way it is. But the Bible has much about hell. And one reason that I was puzzled this evening, and I couldn't hardly forget this message, just last Sunday in our Sunday school class, the brother that was teaching, he said, we do not hear messages like this. He said he was converted in having messages like this about hell. And I know it's hard words, but in Mark it tells us, where the worm dieth not, it's speaking about hell. In Matthew it says, unquenchable fire. In Matthew it says, it is outer darkness. In Matthew it says, it's a furnace of fire. Life is serious, death is sure, and the judgment is coming. And then what will it be with you and I? Where will we find ourselves? Coming to the judgment bar of God. And what shall it be? It's going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. And I believe tonight, if we could only for 5 seconds get a vision of hell, I believe tonight everyone would repent. I have a saying that I'll try to remember. If everyone that is living would discover what every departed person has experienced or seen, everyone would be saved. And I believe that. You know, Lazarus in hell, he just asked for one drop of water. And he wanted some back. He became an evangelist. He wanted someone back to go back and minister to tell his brothers not to come there. Revelation, it would tell us, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And notice the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and forever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Then it gives the contrast and says, here is the patience of the saints. Notice the difference. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And their what does follow them? Their works do follow them. And we say works don't matter. Works doesn't have any consequences. This is the Word of God. It is one of the absolutes. As I spoke about this morning, they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. And so as we live our lives, we live it to the honor and glory of God. And my question tonight is, where will you be in all eternity? We're going to be somewhere. Is the road that you're traveling on tonight taking you where you want to go? I have to think of the boy on the train. You've probably heard this story. The boy on the train. There was an evangelist that got on the train, and a 16-year-old boy came in there and sat beside him. And he didn't say anything, and I might not give it exactly right, but to make it short. And later, the evangelist ministered to him, and he said, well, he wondered. The boy was crying, and he wondered, well, can I help you? And he just said, he said that I was so bad at home that my dad run me away. But he said the other night I was at a revival meetings and I responded and I accept Jesus into my life. And the first thing I wanted to do is to go back home to my daddy and say I'm sorry. Now I'm saying it in my own words. And the evangelist said that's good. So they traveled on and then later. The boy started crying again, and he asked him, what's the matter, son? And he said, well, we're just about there. And he said, well, how do you know what? He said, we live just beside the railroad. And I wrote my parents and said, if you will accept me home, I put a rag on the apple tree. And he said, but we're about there. And he said, I cannot look. And the evangelist said, I'll look for you. And they came around the curve. And there, in the yard, stood mother and father, not only with one rag, but the apple tree was covered with rags, and they were there, welcoming their son back home. And that is how it is with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. He is welcoming us back home. If we've wandered away, and we're living in sin. And so, the boy, with a shadow of a doubt, knew that he was welcome, that he was welcome back home. And that is how it is tonight. Jesus at the cross, and he gave his life and shed his blood for you and I. And how is it that we can say no, and we can go our own way? Are we going to try to ride out the train and go on? Are we going to get off and come to the cross and be united with Jesus and what he's done for us? I just bless his name tonight. And that is for every one of us. Just quickly, a story of a man there in Montezuma. He was not a Christian. He worked there at the feed mill. And I was very involved in the feed mill at that time. He worked there, and Brother Eli was our bishop. He's passed on. And he talked to this man about his soul, and over him, he would not respond. He was living an ungodly life. And one day he came there, he was there in the store. And we had cameras in there, and you can see what's going on everywhere on the outside and wherever. And they noticed he went back in this one office, and he was going to eat his lunch. And he sat there, and then a little bit later, they seen that he was doubled over. They got the EMTs and tried everything, and they tried to save his life. He was gone. He was gone. I went back, and we replayed the camera. And just before that, he was out there in the office with a customer, and he was doing his thing and was just doing fine. And he walked back there. In a moment of time, he was gone. I tell us tonight, God's camera is on us. He knows where we're at. We cannot hide one thing. We might think we can hide from the ministry, from the parents, from whoever. And maybe we know that we can't hide it from God. But how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? After that, Jesus gave his life, shed his blood for our redemption, for our salvation. How can we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There is no escape outside of Jesus Christ and accepting him. Are we going to hear the words, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you"? Are we going to hear the words, the sad words, that the majority of humanity is going to hear according to the word of God? "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Will you exit the train tonight, or are you going to try to ride it out? I really wanted to talk more about heaven. I did a little bit this morning. It is so much difference. Beloved, tonight, and I see the time is high spent, past time. But I want to give an invitation tonight. I didn't ask if I could. Maybe I should have. I wasn't sure. Y'all look so godly and so good. But I want to give an invitation. I didn't want any blood on my hands. I wanted to go back home with clean hands, and that's why I gave this message tonight. And I want to sing a song this evening. It's not in your songbooks. I think maybe some of us, at least most of us, would maybe know it. And I just want us to sing it. And if there's anyone here tonight that wants to come to these front rooms up here, somebody will pray with you. I don't know if there's any needs here tonight, but I want to at least give you the opportunity. And please, would God give grace? If there's anyone like that here tonight, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. If you've never responded to the voice of God, if you're young here tonight, never responded, you can respond. I know you can respond at home likewise. But so often when we walk out of these doors, we get involved with other things and then we don't respond. Shall we sing this song, "There's a Fountain Free"? I think maybe we would know that. At least, and please respond soon if you're going to respond. And God give grace. Shall we sing? "There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste to the brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all." It's a fountain that will wash away our sins. And it flows from the throne of God. And so if there's anyone here this evening, we will sing one more verse. And if you want to respond, respond to the voice of God. "There's a living stream with a crystal gleam from the throne of life. Now it flows. While the waters roll, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all." Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we come to you at the close of this service, and we thank you, and we just bless your high and holy name. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for your love and your mercy, which you have bestowed upon us. Thank you, God, for this day. And thank you above all for Jesus and what he's done for us. And Father, that on the Calvary's cross he gave his life and shed his precious atoning blood for our redemption, for our salvation. And oh God, I just pray, Lord, that you would go up and down these pews and search our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. Father, I commit each one to you and just ask for your blessing and presence. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.